Welcome back to the Jeff Force Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. 35 minutes after the hour. Joining us now is our returning champion every Friday about this time. Maybe it varies time to time, but mostly you could get him about this time every week from Daphne, State Senator Chris Elliott. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to be with you. It's a beautiful day in South Alabama.
Anything fun? You do anything fun this week? Were you around? What did you do last night?
I think you know the answer to that. We got out of the state house about quarter till 12 and watched the house run it all the way to 12 or a minute shy of it, it looked like. I wasn't sure the person down there in the house, Representative Gaston, was going to get through with his motion before the clock struck midnight, but he barely made it. So got up early this morning and drove back to Baldwin County to get back to work.
Oh, so you didn't do the bailing out and then driving all night. Yeah, you just got up early. Well, that's probably the smart way to approach it.
Well, it was a long night. You know, it's been a long week, and I didn't think that that was probably the brightest thing to do. So just camped out and headed back in the morning.
Well, let's ask you guys. You're the first senator I've talked to, at least officially on the record. Well, what did you make of what transpired in the lower chamber these last few days on the gambling issue?
Well, it's frustrating, obviously. I mean, you know, early yesterday morning, Senator Marsh pulled a couple of us that, you know, had been working on this issue together in a conference room to try to figure out if there was a way to adjust the governor's proposal in the House. And I've heard some of your reporting on it. I mean, it's clearly the governor's proposal. You know, it said executive budget office at the top of it. It was her bill. And to see if we could figure out a way to get it passed, because what the governor had proposed and was being carried by a member in the House, but what the governor proposed was simply not going to get on the floor and not going to get a vote, which meant it wasn't going to get to the vote of the people, which is what I'm trying to make sure happens for my constituents. You know, find the best solution that could get passed that could then get on the ballot. And that was the goal. Get the best deal that could be passed that could get on the ballot. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, the governor kind of wrote in there at the 11th hour and said, you know, here you go, House. Here's what I've developed. And, you know, you saw it not even able to get to a vote. And that's awfully disappointing.
Well, Nathaniel Ledbetter, the majority leader House, kind of took a shot at the Senate, saying that the bill that you guys sent was as equally as untenable, that wasn't going to happen in the House. I guess my question is, we talked about this. You and I talked about this through this whole ordeal these last few months, all session long, that there wasn't anything going on in the House with gambling. It seemed like they were waiting on you guys. But wouldn't the... Do you think it would have been a better approach if the two chambers had maybe started at that and worked together towards something instead of trying to do it each independently? Or is that just the way Montgomery is supposed to function?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. I heard the leader's comments, and I understand, you know, the attitude you hear a lot is, well, y'all do what you're going to do and send it down here and we'll take a look at it. You know, that seems to be the attitude on a lot of things, and frankly, that happens in both chambers. The Senate obviously has done more of this here lately, right? We've been moving more legislation, certainly more legislation that, you know, some would call controversial, I would call impactful, but I guess it just depends on your view. But the willingness to engage early on has simply not been there. You know, you heard comments, well, we'll you know, we haven't seen it yet, or we haven't looked at it yet, or whatever. It's like, good gracious, we've been working on this for 2.5 months here. It's dominated the headlines. It's dominated the news. It's a high-priority issue for my voters. I mean, you look at the polling on this, this is an important issue for the voters. And it's not anything that's been secretive. It's been something that's well flushed out. And then, you know, you and I have talked a number of times about the path to success for comprehensive gaming legislation and what that looked like. And what I've said time and time again is, you know, the Senate's taken the lead on this. The Senate has hammered out what will pass the Senate. Any significant changes to the big building blocks, if you will, of that legislation that have already been hammered out will likely be unsuccessful. and you know, in the end, if it has to, you know, go to conference or it has to come through committee. But what got me was that the proposal that the governor made was so remarkably different from what passed the Senate. Even after understanding that was, you know, the Senate proposal just barely made it through, that you have to wonder, you know, did we ignore the work that was done in the Senate? Did they ignore the work, and the deal making and the gnashing of teeth and wringing of hands to get to that point? And if so, did they actually expect it to pass? And I have to really ask, you know, you can say what you want to about the Senate proposal. It was not what I would have loved to have passed. It was not without flaws, but I did think it was something that could get on the ballot. The measure proposed by the governor never got a vote on the floor. We didn't even have the chance to get the conference on it. Didn't even have the chance to work on it. And that's what's really frustrating. I understand their position. My position is we passed something. They couldn't even get a vote on the floor. And again, I put, probably not surprisingly to you, a lot of the blame on the governor's office for saying, we've got a plan, we're going to come up with it, we're going to give it to you. And they gave it to them, but they gave it to them really late. And when they gave it to them, it was markedly different different from what we had passed. And I just think that put the House at an extreme disadvantage.
Well, tell me this. When the legislature wants something done, and I'll point to the Rebuild Alabama Act, and I'll point to what we probably think should happen with prisons, that the way this works, the way Rebuild Alabama worked was you got the Senate involved, you got the House involved before you even hit the ground running. That seems to me the playbook. If you want to get it done, if you want to get things rolling, if you want to get things to where they get passed, you got to start at that point. And we took the approach of, well, we'll let one chamber put something out there and another chamber do something different, and then we'll figure it out in conference committee. And that doesn't seem to work. It rarely does it work on big, big, big things like this.
No, you're absolutely right. And Rebuild Alabama is a great example of how to get something done. You saw incredible leadership with Senator Chambliss and Representative Poole. You saw years and years of work to get the stakeholders involved. The difference there between that issue and the gaming issue as far as how the legislation was handled is that was truly, you know, both houses working together, both houses making sure that the bill was in a good place when it reached the other body. You had Representative Poole reaching out to individual senators. Heck, as a freshman senator, I had impact on Rebuild Alabama and how the funding worked and how the population was accounted for through a House member who I had not worked for previously, so that my issues were addressed before it ever got out of the House and came to the Senate, so that we were able to simply vote on the bill as it was upstairs. That did not happen with gaming, and it's unfortunate. And that may be the only path, you know, in a couple of years when we inevitably try to do this again.
You say it in a couple of years, meaning it's not going to happen in that fourth year of a quadrennium. So I guess you're already thinking it's not likely to happen in a special session. And the reason I ask, special session, I know the governor's been reluctant to call special sessions with the exception of Rebuild Alabama, but she's taken a very active role, or at least her office has, a very active role in this process. And it makes me wonder, Might she see this as something she wanted to get out of the way before that 2022 cycle really kicks off?
Well, she may have taken an active role very late in the game in this process, but her bill, her proposal would not even get to a vote, get to debate on the floor of the House. So while she may have proposed something, it was so far off what stood any chance of passing, and certainly no chance of passing in the Senate whatsoever. You have to wonder if that's where the governor is, if the Senate's where it is, and you've got the House trying to decide, you know, where it wants to be. You have to wonder about the merits of a special session. If I was the governor, I would not call a special session until I had those details worked out. The notion that you're going to call everybody back into town and they suddenly have had a change of heart or a change of mind and the position's changed or you know, their district has changed and what's important to them back home has changed, I just think it's ludicrous. I think the best way to do this is have all of these conversations. You know, we've got time now, as we've, you know, as this is clearly not work. We've got time to figure it out. You know, let's take some time and see if we can work through the differences, but do so in a methodical manner, and not, you know, have the executive branch ride in at the 11th hour and throw something on the floor and say, hey, see if you can pass this.
Well, do you think it's going to take the governor? Do you think it's going to take Governor Ivey, or whoever a future governor may be, to get this finally done? That, you know, Governor Ivey as sort of the figurehead taking the lead on this, that's going to take more leadership from the executive branch, or could the legislative branch still figure out a way to get it done?
Well, that's a good question, and I think part of the problem, and you and I have had this conversation before, is the governor's reputation in the upper chamber, right? I mean, she's made comments, she's said things, she's done things, she's pointed fingers at the upper chamber, and the relationship is less than positive. It's just a fair statement. Her legislative affairs staff does not work the upper chamber, does not spend time in the upper chamber. They seem to, whether it's COVID relief money or it's, you know, executive amendments to the budget or it's gaming or, you know, other things, they seem to just say, we'll just deal with it in the House. And I think what you've seen here is that is ineffective. It may be effective if you're trying to keep something from happening, but it's not effective if you're trying to make something happen. And I think that's been borne out here. Now, the question is, does this governor change that tack, try to work with both, you know, both chambers? Or is the tax simply, we'll deal with the House and don't worry about the Senate, let them do whatever they want to do. And again, I think it's been proven that that's effective if you're trying to kill something. It's not effective if you're trying to get something done, and this is evidence of that.
Well, it just seems that the governor and the leadership in the House of Representatives are much closely aligned, and you made mention to the gambling proposal in the House was clearly written by the governor's office. At least they had a big role in it. The executive budget office even showed that on the bill when it was printed out. But does that make it where you have the three parties involved and only one third of it is kind of operating independently, that they don't think that they need to work with? You got the governor's, that the executive and half of the legislative working in concert together, that just missing the Senate out of hand, I think it seems to be the approach. I mean, is it a personality thing? Well, what do you think the issue is there? Why is it the Senate looped in more with all of these processes?
Well, I think it's probably because you have a lot of independent thinkers in the Senate that push back against the governor on some of these ideas. I mean, if you talk to a number of senators and you talk to a number of House members, and you're going to get a very different view of this executive branch. And this governor doesn't take well to people saying, no, ma'am, we're not going to go that way, or no, we don't think that's a good idea. We need to try something else. And I mean, look, it's a lot easier to be around people that agree with you than it is to be around people that disagree with you. But governance is complicated, and sometimes you got to work with other parties. Simply saying we're not going to work with you is clearly not working for this administration on big issues such as this. I mean, the last big success has been Rebuild Alabama, and that was where the legislature took the lead with the support of the governor and worked the issue through both chambers and with the support of the executive. Since then, that's not happened. And you have seen the result of that over the last couple of years.
It's certainly a fascinating dynamic going on there. But other than that, a lot other things got done in both the House and the Senate. And I guess your signature accomplishment, at least from the public standpoint, is going to be this medical marijuana bill getting through. What did you think of that? Were you surprised that it finally got through and got to the governor's desk?
You know, I don't think so. Senator Melton has done a fantastic job, and of course, you know, the House sponsor as well. But Senator Melton in particular, just doggedly, pursuing this. And Senator Melton comes from a position as a medical doctor to speak with some authority on the issue. You know, and you'll see that with legislation. You know, if you've got a member, you know, that's a prosecutor that's carrying some criminal justice legislation, or you've got a doctor that's carrying some medical related, or a farmer that's carrying something that deals with agriculture, or a home builder, you know, like myself, that's dealing with home builders issues, they have more authority. But Senator Melson is a brilliant individual who has a lot of experience and knows what he's talking about. He's a former opponent of medical marijuana who got in the research, looked at it, and said, this has merit, and this could provide relief for an awful lot of people where more traditional drugs are not working, or where they have side effects that are such that they may even be worse than the treatment themselves. So, you know, he has an incredible amount of credibility, and he used that over a course of a number of years to simply convince members one by one that this was a good piece of legislation. And I think he's done a fantastic job with it.
Senator, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but as always, we appreciate you making time for us, so we'll do it again next week.
Thanks for having me on, and enjoy your weekend in this beautiful weather.
You do the same. That was State Senator Chris Elliott on the line. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Was a lonesome whistle blowing, and